mercy and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having really gotten to know Jesse probably over the last 8 months or so in a different way than before, I couldn't help but think of the text, the prodigal son, was a text specifically designed for him, and I think ultimately for each and every one of us. In it, we hear these words of our Lord. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey to a faraway country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine rose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." I stood in this spot exactly 1 week ago today. It was the funeral service for a seven-month-old baby boy. And I made a confession to the congregation that day, and it's the same one I'm going to make to you today. It just seems strange to be gathered in this place when it's all decked out for Christmas. This is supposed to be a season where we're excited, the celebration, the birth of the Savior, and all of that stuff. It's amazing, but yet we find ourselves here this morning at the unexpected death of a father, a friend, and a brother. And we mourn. Gone way too soon. But mingled with all that grief and pain of Jesse's sudden death, I think we all begin to realize that it can happen to us at any time. Any time we can be called from this veil of tears. In fact, comedian Woody Allen says, "I'm not afraid of dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens." And I think all of us would probably confess the same thing. And then the psalmist goes on to say that the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, and they quickly pass, and we fly away. 70 to 80 years. You know, that was written about over 3,000 years ago. And we've had all these amazing advancements in medicine and nutrition and therapy and pharmaceutical medication, all that stuff. And we seem like we can live forever, and we'll live a lot longer. But I Googled it. In the U.S., ladies, in the year 2019, your life expectancy is, 81.1 years. And gentlemen, 76.1. And right now you're doing math. And you're thinking about, how long is my life expected to live? How long, like, can I plan on being here? But in the back of our minds, we all know it. A Jewish proverb says that every man knows he will die, but no one, and I mean no one, wants to believe it. But it always kind of comes back to my question, and I'll give it to you this morning: why must we die? God loves us, doesn't He? Didn't he send his own son into the world? We celebrate it here in a few days to be the sacrifice for all of our sins. He created the heavens and the earth. Surely he could do something about this. Why are we mourning today? The untimely death of Jesse in the midst of a sanctuary decorated for Christmas with an Advent wreath for Pete's sakes. But here we are. Oh, we've heard what the Bible says. You know, Paul makes that blaring statement that the wages of sin is death. And he says, well, not so fast. Maybe that doesn't apply to me. After all, I live a pretty good life. I try to behave myself. But then he goes on also to say, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all is pretty all-inclusive. And then if you think I can just find a loophole, if I can just do some stuff, then I'm in the clear. And then Paul dashes those hope. Actually, James does. James writes these words, for whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking all of it. And so there you go. We're all going to die. Amen. Time for the luncheon. But wait, there's more than that, right? You know, I've known of Jesse for about 15 years. I've served this congregation that long, and through my ministry to Toddie, even when it was over on, 23rd Street, I was in the house. I got to see the big fish on the wall and all that stuff. And we had fishing stories. It was awesome. And then they moved over to the condo, and then Toddie passed away. And then Regine would come here and worship continually, and then ultimately she ended up at home, and I visited her there, and Jesse would bounce in every once in a while, and I would at least see him, and I knew who he was. I do know that he was raised by a couple that doted over him. They loved him dearly, as well as you, I know. But for them, it was a little different because Toddie even built the half pipe in the backyard. Took him on fishing trips everywhere. And I'm told he had been to all 50 states before he was 16. I'm past 50 and I haven't been there yet. He lived kind of an amazing younger life. Toddie took him to Calvary Lutheran Church, had him baptized. And then later on, when they became members of an Emmanuel, one of my predecessors, Pastor Nicholas, had confirmed him. And he was a part of this body of believers with all the rights and benefits thereof. It was during his marriage with Amanda that things kind of went off the rails. To the point where he had to have a restraining order. And as a prodigal son, he kind of disappeared. He disappeared from their lives and your lives, only popping up occasionally, living a life that making choices that were probably not to his best interests. And I'm sure many of you thought that this date would have come a lot earlier. The choices he made, you thought you'd get that phone call and his life would be over some time ago. But I believe it was shortly after Rogene's death that things began to change for Jesse. I don't know if you saw it, but I certainly did. Just like that prodigal son, after squandering everything, he finally, as he sat there in that pig dung, began to think to himself, there is a better way to live. I don't belong here. But due to his inactivity here at Emmanuel over the years, ultimately he got removed from our membership rosters because of the term we use as self-exclusion. And it was in May, I think, of last year that Jesse came up to me and says, Pastor, what do I need to do to rejoin the church? I said, Jesse, it's really easy. I stand you in front of the congregation and embarrass you, and you have to confess your faith before the whole congregation. He said, you can do it. And so in June, he came and stood about right where that flower is, and he made that declaration of faith that Christ was his Savior, and he was home again. Of course, I was elated. He was just a good dude. From that Sunday on until his death, he was a fixture here at Emmanuel. Right back in that corner, he always sat next to the wall for a speedy exit at the end of the service. He always had his Packers coat on. And when he passed away, people said, "No, Jesse Hoffer, I'm not placing the face." I said, "The guy that wore the Packers jacket. Yep, I know who he is." It was then that I really got to know Jesse. It was then I began to see the transformation that was taking place in his life, and I could see it written all over his face. There was that darkness that was before, that doubt, that doom, that gloom, and then there was like joy. Like when someone really gets it, when there's joy in their face, and they're just in a whole different place in life. That's where I saw him get to, right before my eyes. Now, Amanda and the kids saw it too. They saw it in his life. He began to spend much more time with the family. He wasn't like the absent Jesse. Who knows where he's at? He would be there for them. He helped Madison coach softball or soccer. I forgot. I didn't write it down very well. But he actually walked everywhere, as you well know. I think he thought he was Jesus. But he went and helped there. He went to Kansas City, the football game. I still remember that day. He goes, "Yeah, I'm going to the game this afternoon." I'm going like, "Nebraska played yesterday." And then he goes, he didn't tell me where. And he was like walking home. He was walking away. I'm going like, okay. And then I see it on his Facebook page. He's in Kansas City with his family watching the Packers play, my Chiefs. And it didn't turn out well, but it was a great day for the family. He went over and mowed their yard. Just showed up. "I'm going to mow the yard." He truly returned home after years of wandering. And to be honest with you, it was truly a beautiful thing to see. Now, if you would turn the mirror around upon your own life, you would begin to understand that each of us could easily see our reflection in the life of the prodigal son. We've all done it. As I earlier said, we're all sinners. We can't deny it. Scripture makes that perfectly clear. We sin every single day. In our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. I know that sounds real Lutheran, but it's true. And then I also know this. If we're honest with ourselves, we know we do the things we're not supposed to do, and we just keep on doing the things that we don't do, the things that we're supposed to do, that God calls us to do. And how often have we in our daily lives fled from the presence of God, if not to a distant land, at least out of His presence, the place where I'm just not going to participate in worship, I'm not going to go to church, those people are just weird. Have you ever been to that place in your own life? I want you to notice something about the prodigal son when he finally made his decision to come home. He formulated a plan. He was willing to confess that, you know, "I have sinned, and my sin's not only against God, but it's also against you, my father, and I am not worthy to be called your son. But just tell me what I got to do. I'll be your servant. If you just tell me what I got to do, I'll be happy to serve you." Well, to know Jesse, he could do about anything. Fixing stuff. As we met with the family, discovered he built the double-decker tree house in the backyard. It's still there. Still standing. He worked as a maintenance engineer for a group of local hotels, as you saw in his obituary. I didn't know that. I know he was the pool guy because I would call him when my pool had problems, and he'd always give me the answers. And I even heard the story about when their cabin boat sunk, he grabbed a hold of a rope. You know, scrawny Jesse grabbed a hold of a rope and he was pulling it ashore. He literally thought he could do anything. But I want you to notice something about when the prodigal son comes home. The text says this, "But while he, the prodigal son, was still a long way off, his father saw him." What does that tell you about your Heavenly Father? He's waiting for you. His eyes are on the horizon, eagerly anticipating and hoping for your return. The text continues that he felt compassion. Compassion in Greek means to have your guts ripped out. The father saw the son and he had a physical, emotional reaction. And he ran. Middle Eastern guys don't run. That's an act of shame. But he ran to his son, covered with pig dung, and embraced him and kissed him, unheard of. And then the father started giving some gifts. He says, you know what? Put some sandals on his feet. Sandals mean freedom. Slaves don't have shoes. But a son would have shoes to give him freedom. And then he says, put a ring on his finger. Ring is a symbol of power and authority. A symbol that he's a part of the family, not as a slave, but you are kin. And I love that. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Well, he certainly needed to change. And that robe was placed upon him. And today I would like to tell you that Jesse has a new robe. It's the white robe that you receive in eternal life. Today isn't about Pastor Bloom preaching Jesse into heaven because it's not necessary. It's about celebrating the gift of life that God has given through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then He told His servants to go kill the fattened calf and bring it because we're going to have a party. Well, we're actually serving ham sandwiches downstairs, so we didn't technically kill the fattened pig, but we are going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate the gift of life that He has because of what Jesus has done for Him. You know, as I listen to the story of the prodigal son, I can really see us all. Each and every one of us have gone our own way. We've done our own thing. And we found ourselves at times in the pigsties of life as a result of our sins. And you get to that point in life where there's two roads to take. Do I choose to continue down the path that I'm on that only leads to hopelessness and despair? Or do I hang a right to a place called Calvary? To a place where this man gave his life as a sacrifice for all that I've done. For all the times I've wandered, for all the times I've fallen short, for all the times I've sinned against Him. Just as the Father received that prodigal son back home again, God receives us too. As we confess our faith, as we confess our sins. I want to thank Jesse's friend for cornering me right before he came in. Because he put the words, what I saw, but I couldn't say it because he didn't say it to me. Leaving church one day, he called his friend and told him, I'm at peace. And I wish everybody could have it. I saw it in him and rejoice of the power of the Spirit to make that happen for him. I want to close with just these words. And I hope you don't mind me sharing, Amanda. These guys have been divorced for quite some time, but you know, it was an unusual relationship. Jesse would just kind of be at the house. Call her at work, say, what are we having for supper? And then one day, from the house, I assume he called her and he says, love ya, bye. And he didn't hang up right away. And she says, I love you too. You know, today, if I think if Jesse was here, he would say that. First of all, he says, did you know there's a place called heaven? Did you know that's a place I am? And did you know that Jesus died for all of your sins? That if you trust in Him, you have eternal life? Well, if you don't know, you ought to go to church and hear it for yourselves. Because truly, I'm at peace. Love you. Bye. Amen. Dear friends, may the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.